Welcome to the Message Podcast from Life in Christ Fellowship in Newport, Vermont. Today's message is brought to you by Pastor Janet Bishop. We hope that this message is encouraging to you and increases your faith in Christ. Enjoy.
This is going to be different. How many of you are used to different? Yeah, the chosen might get used to different. Well, this is going to be different for me. The title of the message is, What About Israel? And I think that as I look around today, there are lots of conceptions and misconceptions about Israel and how the church is supposed to be responding to Israel. So I'm just going to lay it out for you that I do not believe in replacement theology. I do believe that the church is extremely important to God, but it does not replace Israel. And in fact, the two of us are supposed to become one in Jesus. So you kind of have it in a nutshell. But there's so much going on with Israel today, and the world is watching. And we need to be watching. But we need to watch differently than the world is watching. We need to watch as watchmen on the wall to know what Jesus is saying. And if you remember a recent message, to intercede as the Holy Spirit leads us to intercede, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and pray for the peace of Israel and pray that the boundaries and borders that God has established will be established in the natural. Amen? So, what is the church's God-desired response to Israel? I think we need to answer that question. I heard a preacher recently say that the church needs to stand up and declare that they are on the side of Israel, that they are for Israel. And so I'm willing to do that. I know that's not popular everywhere, but I'm willing to do that because from the beginning, before I knew the scriptures, before I knew anything about it, before I was saved, I didn't think much about Israel. I hardly thought about it at all. But when I got on my knees and asked the Lord to come into my heart, He sent me to His Word, but even before I read or understood what the Word had to say about Israel, God birthed a love in my heart for Israel. How does that happen? I had no teaching. I had no previous conception. How does that happen? Except by the Spirit of the Lord. And I know that that doesn't happen to everyone. There are many in the church who believe that the church replaced Israel, and so we don't have to think about it or worry about it. But one of the main points I want to make to you is this is not about politics or religion. It's about God's covenant with a chosen people. So one of the things I'm hoping to explain a little bit today is why in the world did God choose Israel? So let's look at some scriptures first. If you have your Bibles with you, you can go to Genesis 12. I should have put bookmarks in. I never do that. And then I'm sorry afterwards. It takes me a while, especially one-handed. Okay, here we go. So Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. That land is Israel. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. And then going to Galatians, got several scriptures for you today, because I'm more interested in what the Word has to say about it than what I think about it. Galatians 3, starting in verse 6. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this news to Abraham long ago when he said, "All nations will be blessed through you." So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. And then going on a little bit further, verse 29 in chapter 3. There it is. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. And then John 8. I'm going to talk about some of this a little bit. John 8, starting in verse 31, and we read this not too long ago. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "But we are descendants of Abraham," they said. "We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will set us free?" And Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, natural descendants of Abraham. And yet some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for my message. I am telling you what I saw when I was with my father, but you are following the advice of your father." "Our father is Abraham," they declared. "No," Jesus replied, "for if you were really the children of Abraham, you would follow his example. Instead, you are trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. No, you are imitating your real father." They replied, "We aren't illegitimate children. God himself is our true father." And Jesus told them, "If God were your father, you would love me, because I have come to you from God. I'm not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me. For you are children of your father, the devil, and you love to do evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." And then Matthew 7:21. You don't have to turn there. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." And then going back to Genesis, I know that's a lot of scripture today. In Genesis 18, verses 17 and 18. "Should I hide my plan from Abraham?" the Lord asked. This is in regard to Sodom and Gomorrah. "Should I hide my plan from Abraham?" the Lord asked. "For Abraham will certainly become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abraham all that I have promised." So the Lord told Abraham, "I have heard a great outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin is so flagrant." So regarding Sodom and Gomorrah, all the nations of the earth, God says in that scripture, will be blessed through Abraham. So why did God choose, why would he single out a nation? Why would he do that? Is it because he loves Israel more than any other nation of the earth? Did he love Abraham more than any other person on the earth? Was Abraham a better person than any other person on the earth? Kinder, nicer, gentler, more tolerant? It didn't have anything to do with better or worse. Living better, being a better person, being a better nation, nothing to do with that. God singled out a person. He singled out a nation so that all the other nations would be blessed through them. And part of the reason that the Jews are hated so much is because, especially in the beginning, they prospered and prospered and prospered. Now, they made a mistake in that they didn't always bless the other nations as God intended for them to bless the other nations. But God never broke his covenant. So this is about covenant with God, not politics or religion, not better or worse. Is this making sense to you? So we can question God all day long. And a lot of people just hate, and hate is the right word, hate Israel, hate the Jews. If you don't think that's true, watch the news and listen to some of the protests going on right now. That Israel, who is trying to defend themselves against a terrorist attack, the other nations are calling for Israel to be charged with war crimes. They're just trying to defend themselves. And they want to stop the hatred. And Israel, unlike the terrorists, try not to kill innocent people. They can't always help it. And they send an alert ahead of their attacks to say, please evacuate because we are going to bomb this area. And they give them time to leave. Is that hateful? I don't think so. Is that revenge? I don't think so. It's them fighting for their right to survive. It's about them fighting for their husbands and wives and children, their families. I just listened to a report last night. An Israeli man who is a policeman found out during the terrorist attacks, those initial days, that his parents, who were elderly, were being held hostage in their own home by Hamas. And his mother was able, the policeman's mother was able to get a message to him to let him know they were being held hostage. So he let other policemen know and other authorities know. And so they had to take some time to make a plan to rescue them. And so the mother, she fed the terrorists. She tried to talk to them. She stayed calm. But she would text her son every so often, you know, we're in real danger here, because they were constantly harassing them, threatening them, pointing their rifles at their heads. And there were others in the household that they had already murdered. There were bullet holes all through the walls. There was blood on the walls. And yet, And yet, this family was rescued. And interestingly enough, the policeman, who I believe is Jewish, I don't believe he has come to the Lord, said, as he was telling about this, God came in and rescued my parents. Yeah. So what would we do in that situation? Would we defend ourselves? Would we try to rescue our parents and our children? Would we try to defend the land that we believe God said was our land? What would we do? You have to ask yourself, why is Israel being villainized by the world? Why were the Jews villainized during the Nazi regime? The reason is because of who we worship and who they worship. And the they, I mean the Nazis. Who did the Nazis worship? They were quote-unquote Christians. They attended quote-unquote Christian churches. However, if you study who they were and what they were about, you will find that many of them were occultists. Many of them served the dark side. And that doesn't seem such a big surprise to me, given what they did. Jesus said, you'll know a tree by its fruit. So what's the fruit of all of that? So if we look at the bottom line of it, people are going to worship somebody. They're going to worship a god. Humans worship something even if they say they are atheists. What are they worshiping if they say they're atheists? They're either worshiping humanity or they're worshiping their ideology. And so we know that there's Christ and not Christ. There's Christ and Antichrist. And if we're not serving Christ, we are serving Antichrist. If we're not worshiping Christ, we're worshiping Antichrist. It doesn't get more straightforward than that. And people say, well, I'm a good person. I don't do anything like that, blah, 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 blah. But they worship their ideology. They worship their philosophy. They worship their education. They worship their knowledge, what they think to be their knowledge. And that's why Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're the children of the father of lies. Did they think they were children of the father of lies? No, but they were deceived because they weren't seeking for, nor believing in, nor worshiping their one true God. So all we have to do is ask ourselves, what did God say about Israel? What does he say? I think we need to be more concerned about what God thinks than what the media says. When you look at a tree and its fruit, I look at how different nations, different organizations, different media sites will support and stir up hatred. That's a fruit, an ungodly one. That will poison other people. That will deceive other people. Make no mistake, those who do it, especially those who do it consciously, will pay the price. Eventually. We don't know how long this will go, what they'll get away with in the world, but we do know that God will bring justice to the earth. It will be his justice, not ours, and not somebody's idea of justice. So last week when I was worshiping, and I want to thank Linda for that awesome message about the king is in the house. I really enjoyed that. But well, before that, while we were worshiping, I kept seeing the mercies. Sorry. I kept seeing the mercy seat of God. And it was glorious. And I saw the seraphim on either side. And I saw the blood of Jesus on the mercy seat. The blood of Jesus on the mercy seat is salvation for us who believe. But it's judgment for those who refuse him. And I kept hearing, there's blood on the mercy seat. There's blood on the mercy seat. And all of a sudden, that vision transitioned into hearing God say, the blood of Abel is crying out to me from the land. The blood of righteous Abel. Why was Abel righteous? Not because he was a better person than Cain. His brother Cain, he was righteous because he served God. He worshiped God. He did things the way God asked him to do things. And Cain said, hey, look, I've got this great harvest of fruits and vegetables, and this is much better than sacrificing a lamb, so God, take my offering, because I like it better than that. I don't know what he was thinking, but obviously he was missing the mark. So the blood of righteous Abel, the blood of righteous Jesus is crying out for justice. How you doing? I know this is a very different message than what we usually bring here, but I feel that it's so important that there are voices out there that are telling the truth about how God views Israel, and that we are very careful that we don't fall into the deception of the media, the deception of the world, the deception of the Antichrist, and stand against what God is standing for. God said, I will bless those who bless Israel, and I will curse those who curse Israel. So the intention was for this nation to be a witness to the coming Messiah. That was supposed to be their whole message. It was supposed to be, listen, people, it doesn't matter where you've been, where you live, what you're doing, what you think, what's going on in your life, Messiah's coming. And you can have Messiah too. He's not just ours. He came for the whole world. He will come, because they were looking forward to the Messiah. We're looking back upon the Messiah. And we're looking forward to one day everything being resolved in goodness, in truth, in righteousness, in peace. And so I don't mean for this to be a heavy message, but I do want it to be one that we take in and understand. And if you disagree with me, you can do your own research. You'll come up with whatever you come up with. I do have one woman. I consider her a friend, a strong Christian, a strong mover in the faith. And she said, no, you're wrong. Israel was replaced by the church. God's covenant was replaced. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. I can't find that anywhere in the Word. I find just the opposite in the Word, including in the New Testament, not just the Old. So I know that there are many, many Jews who don't know their Messiah. But all we're supposed to do is pray for them, witness to them if we have the opportunity, and desire that they receive the very Messiah who came through them for us. Somebody said there would not be a church without Israel. Think about that. So will God turn his back on his firstborn? I don't think so. Let's go on just a little bit. Do you think that God loved Isaac more than he loved Ishmael? I don't think so. But Isaac was the son of promise, and Ishmael was man's way of working it out. So I was going to read the story. I'm not going to read the story, but most of you know the story that Abraham and his wife Sarah had never had children. Sarah was 90, Abraham was 100. I think I have that right. And an angel of the Lord visited them and told them that they would have a child. Well, God had said to Abraham long before that, I'm going to make a big nation out of you. And that did mean physical sons and daughters. You are going to have physical sons and daughters, and they are going to be more abundant than the stars of the sky or the sand of the pebbles in the sand. I'm saying that wrong. Do you know what I mean? And so there's Abraham and Sarah saying, well, I guess we're going to have a baby. We got to start with one. And no baby came. And they waited, and no baby came. Have you ever believed that you had a promise from God and no baby came? Not just a baby, but whatever promise God had spoken to you? Hold on. Because if God promised it to you, it will happen. You just have to cooperate. I think most of us are adults in this room, but I remember one prophet speaking to a couple that were childless and giving them a word. And this prophet said, I don't like to prophesy mates, dates, or babies. But it was strong, and he couldn't help himself. And he prophesied a baby to this couple. And before they left, he said, but you have to cooperate. You know what that means. So there is a part that we play when we have a promise from the Lord. And the biggest part that we play is keeping our faith, continuing to believe in God's word, and then trying not to bring it about our way. I have seen really good friends of mine who got very strong words from the Lord, and because it didn't happen within a time frame that seemed acceptable to them, they tried to make it happen. And when they tried to make it happen, it didn't bear a lot of fruit. So I believe that I believe that part of what happens during the promise given and the promise fulfilled is God is working on our character. And he's building our faith. And he's saying, are you going to stand in faith? Or are you going to get discouraged and give up? This is a season, church, we can't get discouraged. We can't give up. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Where does our joy come from? It comes from believing God, believing that he's good, believing that he loves us, believing that he will bring justice, and his justice is right. Isaac's birth was miraculous, a miracle brought about by the Spirit and the plan of God. Ishmael's birth was by man's methods, trying to bring something about that only God could produce. So it's the things of the Spirit and not the flesh. That's why we can stand with Israel, because God said, it's birthed by my Spirit. And we want the Son of the Spirit, not the Son of flesh. You okay with this? Are we doing all right? Okay. So God's ways are his ways. His choices are his choices. We are to recognize the goodness, the faithfulness, the power, and the righteousness of God. He knows what he's doing. Do we believe that? God knows what he's doing. So when it doesn't seem to be going well, and we seem to get frustrated and upset, all of us do, right? We need to stop and we need to remember God's doing it his way. He knows what he's doing. And we also have to remember in that God loves us no matter what. God loves us. No matter what, God loves the Hamas. Come on. He loves them. God's desire for them would be that they turn from their hatred, that they turn from the evil in their hearts, that they turn to the living God and serve him. That's his desire. Because God doesn't change. And when he said his desire is that no man would perish, what do you think that means? His desire is that no man should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. As you search the scriptures, one of the things you'll find is that God will say time and again, I've made an everlasting covenant with Israel. That's why I don't believe that covenant is broken or that Israel is replaced. I will make an everlasting covenant. Nowhere do I find that God changed his mind about that. Nowhere in scripture. I've read the Bible a few times, and I've never seen that. I've heard people make arguments, but they're taking their scripture and they're making it say something. Maybe they see it, I don't. So I want to end by reading Psalm 67. Oop, there we go. It's a short one. May God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favor on us. May your ways be known throughout the earth, your saving power among people everywhere. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Let the whole world sing for joy, because you govern the nations with justice and guide the people of the whole world. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Then the earth will yield its harvests, and God, our God, will richly bless us. Yes, God will bless us, and people all over the world will fear him. So at this time, I want to encourage us, as Pastor Allen said earlier, right on, yet yes, there is a natural war, but we are in a spiritual war. And the Lion of Judah will roar. So we're going to participate in that. So I want to encourage you to let the fighting spirit of the Lion of Judah rise up in you and become part of the army of God that is declaring the truth throughout the earth. God is on his throne. He is the King of Kings. Jesus is the Lord of Lords, and God has not changed his mind. It's taken a minute, but we'll get there. Don't be pressured, Lori. Don't you hate these awkward technical difficulties? Stand to your feet, if you will. He's your God. He's the great I am. King of Israel, Son of Man. Judah, let me roar. Hail, hail, lion of Judah. Let the lion roar. Thank you, church. So, will you declare in your heart that you stand with Israel, that you are on the Lord's side, and you want to stand with who and what God is standing for? Amen. Bless you all. If you need prayer, there, Pastor Allen and I will stay, and Reverend Eileen and James and Jen will be here to pray for you. And we encourage you, whatever you need prayer for, don't hesitate, because we don't know how much time is left. Might be 100 years, it might be 1,000 years, it might be 2 minutes. We don't know. So don't hesitate to get in right alignment with God and to submit everything to Him that needs to be submitted to Him, and commit yourselves fully to following Him.
Our natural mind wants to dissect our mind. God wants to dissect our heart, to show us where we're really at and who we are. So let your identity be in Him.
Thank you for listening to our podcast here at Life in Christ Fellowship in Newport, Vermont. We hope that you have enjoyed this message, and we encourage you to hit that subscribe button to continue updates on future messages each week. Feel free to share these messages of encouragement and edification to others.